Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, our title for our topic is The Resurrection of the Nation of Israel. This is going to be a short two-part series on that particular subject. We're going to start out our study on the resurrection and what we call the restoration of the nation of Israel by reading the longest uninterrupted passage of Scripture in the Bible that specifically addresses the miraculous resurrection and restoration of the nation of Israel from the graveyard of nations. That passage of Scripture starts in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 16, and goes all the way through Ezekiel 37, verse 28. It is composed of 51 verses. Let's start in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and I will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That completes the reading in Ezekiel chapter 36. Next up, we have Ezekiel chapter 37, where we have the vision of the dry bones. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and I will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and I will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. That's Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 16, all the way through the end of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 28. Now, that particular passage of scripture, there is no way that that prophecy has ever been fulfilled. So it is yet, at the time it was written, it was yet to be fulfilled. But the process of it starting to be fulfilled happened really up to and leading to May 14th, 1948, when Israel was reborn as a nation among the world's nations. Now, we're not going to do a verse-by-verse study on Ezekiel 36, verses 16 through Ezekiel 37, verse 28. The verses speak for themselves. A careful study of those passages will reveal that it is a restoration that is a process of time. In other words, it is not instantaneous. I would encourage you to reread, study, and meditate upon those two passages of Scripture. Then you will see God working in it, and also you will look at the nation of Israel in an entirely different light, especially if you've been one that has been taught the heresy of replacement theology. The church has not replaced Israel in God's plan for the ages. Now, both the scattering of Israel and the Jewish people into the nations, and the regathering of Israel and the Jewish people from the nations, were prophesied of in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 63 and 64, and in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 3, which declare the following. Verse 63 of Deuteronomy 28, "And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it, and the Lord shall scatter thee, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there shalt thou serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone." That is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 63 and 64, and that is the promise to scatter them into the nations. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 3, we have God's promises to deliver them from the nations, to regather them. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 30, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things will come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. That's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. Now, the greatest scattering of Israel and the Jewish people into the nations probably took place in the first 100 years following their rejection of and the Roman crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ in A.D. 29, and some would say that that would be A.D. 33. Prior to that, they were scattered mostly in Persia, Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, Ethiopia, and Libya. The official process of the resurrection and restoration of the nation Israel was birthed in one day, on May 14th, 1948. The prophet Isaiah had this to say about the astounding import of that day in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 8 through 12. The Bible says, verse 8, "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall she suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees." Folks, that paints a beautiful picture if you think about it. It's talking about, it's using an illustration of a mother or a father that has a baby or young child on their knees, that they're bouncing up and down, and they're just having a wonderful time together. Now, as of May 12th, 2026, that process of regathering Israel and the Jewish people from all nations is well underway, though not near complete. As of May 12th, 2026, there are at least 98 countries worldwide that have at least 100 Jewish residents in their populations. That proves that they were scattered into the nations just as the Lord said they would be. Countries with Jewish populations of 16,000 or more include Uruguay with 16,200, Switzerland with 20,500, Italy with 26,900, Belgium with 29,000, Netherlands with 29,700, Ukraine with 33,000, Mexico with 40,000, Hungary with 46,000, South Africa with 50,000, Brazil with 90,500, Australia with 117,000, Germany with 125,000, Russia with 132,000, Argentina with 171,000, the United Kingdom with 312,000, Canada with 398,000, France with 440,000, Israel with 7,427,000, and finally, the United States with 7,460,600. Now, that was sourced from a website called worldpopulationreview.com, country rankings by Jewish population by country. Now, does it surprise you that the Jewish population in the United States exceeds that of every nation, including Israel? That is not by accident. That is by God's design until the regathering process is completed according to God's timetable. people who harangue and rail against modern Israel and the Jewish people are resisting, haranguing, and railing against the express will and stated intent of God to restore Israel and the Jewish people to the Promised Land. The Jew-hating, which, by the way, are euphemistically called anti-Semitic, unbelieving, undereducated, and ill-taught Bible students of the apostate and heretical churches of 2026 violently attack the idea of modern Israel and the Jew as being fulfillments of God's promised restoration of Israel and the Jew, because their satanically deceived teachers and preachers teach them that the church has replaced Israel. That is a doctrine that is straight out of the pits of hell and is in fact set on fire of hell. If you have aught in your heart against the Jew, then you have a serious problem with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a perfect Jew made under the law. If you have aught in your heart against the Jew, then you need a refresher Bible course from Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says this, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That's and also in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, one of the strongest condemnations delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament was given to those who persecuted his brethren, the Jews. The pronounced punishment for those who mistreated his brethren, the Jews, was the everlasting fires of hell. We see that documented in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. And by the way, can I tell you this too, that the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans warned the Christian folk about their attitude toward the Jew. You need to keep in mind that the Jew is God's chosen people. The Jew is referred to as the apple of God's eye. Now, Israel is mentioned 2,576 times in the Bible. Judah as a people is mentioned 789 times in the Bible. Jerusalem is mentioned 814 times in the Bible. Zion, which is also called Sion, is mentioned 162 times in the Bible. Jehovah God of the Bible refers to himself as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob at least 8 different times. What all this proves is that Israel and its people are a dominant theme of the Old Testament. God never refers to himself as the God of the United States, the God of Egypt, the God of Iran, the God of Russia, the God of Saudi Arabia, or the God of China, and so forth. For you Jew and Israel-hating Islamic devils, he never refers to himself as the God of Ishmael. In Genesis 16, verse 12, God referred to Ishmael and his people as wild men, whose hands would be against every man and every man's hand against him. Even today, those Islamic devils hate every man that does not believe like they do. They are more than willing for you to die for your religion. God said in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, that he loves Israel with an everlasting love. God says numerous times in the Old Testament that Israel is a chosen nation. Some examples would include Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, and Isaiah 44, 1. These scriptures state the following. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Let me reread this to you. This is a source of much of the hatred and jealousy against the Jew. Deuteronomy 7, 6 again. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Here it is, folks, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Next up, we have Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. And here it is again, folks, above all the nations that are upon the earth. That's Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. Next up, we have Isaiah chapter 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. I believe that the major reason that the Jews and the nation of Israel are so mistreated by the nations of the world is because they have been chosen by God above the other nations. I also believe that one of the major reasons that the Jewish people have been so persecuted is because God has given them an almost supernatural ability to handle money. I would go even so far to say he has given them a supernatural ability to handle money. The proof of that statement is in the following scriptures. Here it is about those Jews that people hate so much. And let me tell you this, folks, their problem is not with a Jew, it's with God. Period. End of sentence. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 says this, And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Next up we have Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. The Lord shall open upon thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And listen at this, folks, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Let me read that for you again. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I commanded thee this day to observe and to do them. That's Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 12 and 13. How many of you have heard degrading remarks about the ability of the Jew to make money? As a young man, one of my dad's favorite expression was a slam against the Jew because of that ability to make money. Or how many of you have actually made degrading remarks about the Jew? If you have prejudices against the Jew concerning his ability to make money, then if I were you, I would reread Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13, and get your heart right with God. God said in Genesis 12:3 that he would bless those that blessed Abraham and his seed and curse those that cursed Abraham and his seed. Time and again, we see that the blessings for nations rest upon how they treat the nation of Israel. In what we commonly refer to as the Abrahamic covenant, God gave Israel the land that is erroneously called Palestine for an everlasting possession. It is more correct to call the land either Canaan land or the Promised Land. The Abrahamic covenant had four major provisions. The Abrahamic covenant contained a promise of a seed, a promise of a land, a promise of a throne, and the promise of a new heart. The promise of the seed dealt both with a spiritual seed and a physical seed. The spiritual seed was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. For a New Testament exposition of the promise of the seed, folks, go and read Galatians chapter 3. The promise of the land is fulfilled in the Promised Land or Canaan land. The promise of the throne is to be ultimately fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ upon the throne of David in a literal city of Jerusalem. And we see that 1,000-year reign begin in Revelation chapter 20. The promise of a new heart is to be fulfilled in the salvation of Gentiles and Jews alike. We must note that the promises of this covenant were repeated again to Abraham, to Isaac, Jacob, and to the nation as a whole throughout the Old Testament. This covenant is also stated to be an everlasting covenant in numerous scriptures throughout the Old Testament. Our focus here today will be upon the promise of the land and the battles to keep it. God refers to the nation of Israel as the apple of his eye in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verses 8 through 10 and also in Zechariah chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. God also says in Deuteronomy 32:8 that he has set the boundaries of the nations according to the number of the children of Israel. Repeat. God also says in Deuteronomy 32 verse 8 that he has set the boundaries of the nations according to the number of the children of Israel. These verses read as follows. Deuteronomy 32 verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness he led him about, and he instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 8 through 10. Next up, we've got Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. That's Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. God refers here to the everlasting nature of the covenants numerous times in the Old Testament. He states at least 10 times that the Canaan land or promised land covenant is everlasting in nature. That is, God has promised the land of Israel to the Jew as an everlasting possession. Mark that down, folks. God says in Joel chapter 2 verse 18 that he is jealous for his land. Not only is he jealous for the land of Israel, he is also jealous for the city of Jerusalem and Mount Zion. Joel chapter 2 verse 18 says this, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 14 reads as follows, so the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. Next up, we got Zechariah chapter 8, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with a great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. That is, again, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 2. In fact, of all the books in the Bible, the book of Zechariah is probably the strongest on the city of Jerusalem. On average, one in every five verses in Zechariah mentioned Jerusalem. Of Zion, God said this of Zion in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Again, that's Isaiah 49, verse 16. God loves the great city of Jerusalem because that is where his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule and reign from on a literal throne of David during the millennium. I have some updated figures. Earlier I gave you some figures, and those may not be correct, but the Bible refers to Jerusalem a total of 1,026 times. It is referred to as Jerusalem 815 times, as Zion 153 times, as the city of David 46 times, and as Sion 9 times. Now, when I use the word Zion, it starts with a Z. That's 153 times. When I use the word Sion, It's mostly a New Testament word, and it starts with an S, and that occurs 9 times. And then Jerusalem is also referred to as Salem 4 different times. Jerusalem is first called Salem, where it is identified with the kingdom of that great priest-king Melchizedek, who is the only perfect type of Christ in the Bible. I repeat, Jerusalem is first called Salem, where it is identified as the kingdom of that great priest-king Melchizedek, who is the only perfect type of Christ in the Bible. I believe that Melchizedek is a pre-incarnate appearance of the God-man, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. Now, that's going to conclude our session for today. Next up, we will talk about the enemies of the Jewish people and the enemies of the nation of Israel. Thank you for joining us today.